all the riches of this world to Jesus Christ. Amen. Which will you go for? Amen.
Amen.
It is certain that every man, praise God, even I myself standing, I will say, I will go for Jesus. Yes, I will go for Jesus. Praise the Lord. But if we really put it into a, if they wage it, if they bring it to reality, praise the Lord. We find out that we are even going for what is not even nothing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Than Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
No, not one. No, not one. Praise the Lord. Never if you have any other friend. But I have no other friend. Amen.
Amen.
Because every other friend will fail you. Amen. You make man your friend, he will fail you. You make money your friend, it will fail you. Amen. Jesus is the only friend. Shall we sit quietly in the house of God and hear the word of God this day?
Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
Amen. Hallelujah. You can open with me, please, into the book of Romans in chapter number 10. I would like to look at the last verse to catch our theme. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have spread out my hands to a disobedient and defiant people. I've spread out my hands. And what the Lord God is telling us here in the context is that the people of God after the flesh, which is national Israel, has failed to receive the promise of the gospel, not because of God, but because of themselves. We had the question asked and answered from yesterday. Does election hinder anybody from coming under Christ? If he has an elect people, what happens if I come? Will he cast me out? And the answer is no, not one. Oh my, what a beautiful song. And we sang it right. I wish that we had sang that at the conference with just those instruments, a cappella, otherwise. It is beautiful. I have been to many places. And the best singing I have heard, I believe. Go to different places. But in Kenya, it's the brethren, they sing in Swahili. And they have a tune called "Tis So Sweet Trust in Jesus." And the first time I heard it was there, in the English version, obviously, I understand. And then here we sing "No Not One." It's a sweet sound unto my ears, unto my heart. But he will never cast out anybody who comes. And so what he's saying here from Romans 10, as we'll pick it up at verse 14 through the end of the chapter, is that the only reason a person is not saved is for rejecting our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to talk about how the gospel, it came unto them. He sends it unto us right now. It is in our ears. It's in our heart. It's in our mouth. No, not one. He won't despise any. And so he's really telling us to come to Christ while you can. Don't take this gospel message lightly. It would be a shame, above all shames, if the people here heard the gospel and some didn't make it in. If somebody else was not passed by, but you were passed by because you rejected the gospel message, that would be the worst thing. But the Almighty God is going to give it to somebody. And he's given it unto you. And he wants you to hear it. Don't ever think that election means that God doesn't want you. He wants you to come unto Jesus Christ. And he's sincere. And so he says in verse number 14, but how can they call on him they have not believed in? It is not possible. Without the gospel message, there's no true faith. How can they believe without hearing from him? The gospel message has to be sent to you and I individually because he saves by truth. He does not leave people in ignorance or blind. And how can they hear without preaching? That's the actual word in your translation and mine. It says a preacher, but the actual word in the Greek is preaching. It doesn't matter who's doing it. It does matter that God sends men to preach the gospel. It says in verse 15, how can they preach unless they are sent? It's the gospel is the instrument of God to save the sinner, so you have everything you need. So call out to him. If you don't understand, if you're outside of the camp, I was so delighted yesterday after I got finished in the meeting, the question and answer. I heard an answer from over there. From a lady I haven't heard answer. And I listened, Pastor. And it was right. And it was immediate from her heart. I don't know if it was on election or faith. But it was the right answer of the gospel. And that's how God saves sinners. He brings you knowledge. And if you don't know, cry out to him. Call to him. That's what we learned last night. Whosoever calls on the name, Lord, save me. I don't have it. I don't understand. I don't feel its power. I don't have assurance. Help me. He helped Peter, and he'll help you. He sends preaching because he desires you to hear. Don't ever think he sent me the gospel to damn me. The scripture says in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, that the secret things belong to the Lord. Let's just flip there real quick, Pastor. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse number 29. I know you can quote it, but it might help to read it, put our eyes on it. Book of Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Bible. It says, The hidden things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things, not the secret things, but the revealed things belong to us and our children. We want them to understand. We want to teach them forever, so that we may follow all the words of this law. I don't know if God has predestined me or if He has ordained me to destruction until I come to Jesus Christ or die. I don't know if I'm a vessel of mercy and honor or a vessel of wrath. But I know I tremble at the thought of being a vessel of wrath, and I want to come unto Jesus Christ. And as the scripture says in Acts 3, our brother Peter is preaching in Acts 3. And this is amazing, because he's dealing with the very murderers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in Acts 3:15, "You killed the Prince of Life." He says in verse number 19, "Therefore repent and turn back." That's good news. I'm a murderer of the Son of God, and He's calling me back in repentance instead of just damning me now. But look at verse 26. "God raised up His servant Jesus and sent Him first to you." He was speaking unto those Jews, Israel, the very murderers of the Son of God, who cried out, "Away with Him," who were against Him, who despised Him, even though all the prophets talked about Him. He said He sent Him first to bless you, after raising up His servant from the dead, to bless you by turning, look what it says, each of you from your evil ways. Now, I know that this means nothing if you don't know who God is. But when you know who God is, and whom He will, He hardens. To know that He has sent me the gospel blessing to turn me from my sin. That means that He desires you and me to come to Christ. More than anybody can ever desire, the Son of God desires. You remember from Romans 9 when Paul said, "I got an agony in my heart, I could wish myself." He said, "I testify in the Holy Spirit." It was the Spirit that made God desire to switch places with those Jews and to go to hell for them. And so the Spirit of God in God is yearning over you, calling you and me unto repentance, because He saves by preaching, so you have everything you need to call out on the name of the Lord and to be saved. To believe His gospel, to repent, to turn from your sin, even your sin of religion, turn from it and cast it out. I observe things, and in my opinion, and I don't think it's only opinion, I think it's scripture, is to worship is sweeter. When you come to Christ, it's better. There's more assurance, there's more peace, there's more boldness. There's a worship of God the right way. You know you're accepted. Isn't that what you said last night? That instead of trying all these things with doubt and perplexity and fear and guilt and shame and trying to hide it and put it down and deal with it yourself, you know that by the precious blood of Christ, I'm righteous with God, even though I'm the biggest of sinners. And when the scripture says, "How shall they hear without preaching, and how can they preach unless they are sent?" Did you know that God actually raises up people to get you the gospel? I was thinking about our sister Mary Slessor, our beloved sister, and how she came here as an example to us, as a hero of the faith, a single, unmarried white woman, came to the place where the white men and the churches refused to go. But God stirred up her heart. And she grabbed hold of her spirit and she came here to die to get you the gospel. That was God. That was God having mercy on Nigeria. And I'm sure that she didn't even know about the killing of twins until she got here and saw it. And then with compassion, God moved her to have a ministry. And she didn't stand up and try to pastor. It's not her calling. Even though she was the only one here, she started with the women and the children and begged them to come to Christ. Until the men started coming and she would talk unto them in the street, tell them to stop what they're doing and trust Christ. That was God. And the missionary spirit that's all over this world. Who do you think got me here to you? It was God. How shall they preach except they're sent? They're raised up by God. Paul was on his way to kill Christians, but God had use for this brilliant man. And throughout the history of the church in the West, the smartest men on the planet have been gifted, like Spurgeon, like Edwards, like Whitfield, like Calvin, like Luther, far more brilliant than their enemies, and had been gifted and used by God just to serve your soul. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 22. It says this, 1 Corinthians 3:22, that whether Paul, now Paul was brilliant now, exceedingly zealous, but he was called to preach by God, or Apollos was gifted, extremely eloquent, if that's your fancy, or Cephas, our brother Peter, upon whom the Lord Jesus Christ said that he would build his church upon his testimony that Jesus is the Christ, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come. Everything is yours. For the believer, the whole galaxy has been given by God to serve you. If one star was out of place, it wouldn't make everything right right now. He's saying that he gave you Paul. He gave you Peter, who saw our Lord Jesus Christ. He raises up churches. That's who sends people to preach the gospel. I was thinking this morning, I heard the gospel at a conference just like ours, from another tiny church in Rescue, California. I went into that church a few years later. I used to attend the conferences each year. And I happened to slip in on a Wednesday night. And the conference had just started. And so most of the people are going to come on, you know, Friday and Saturday. I slipped in there on Wednesday night, and it felt like maybe 25 people were there. But there was a man that was as gifted a preacher as anybody else preaching the gospel. So just like me and you, if we have this tiny group, and I need to get a picture of all of us. Bring in Sister Gloria, bring in your wife. Get a picture of us all and show people how small a group God used to put on that conference so people can hear. But God raised up that church at Rescue. Just a tiny band to host that conference every year at great expense unto themselves. And I heard the message. And that's our hope for the people there. That they heard. That they're interested. That they want to hear more. That they want to come to the pastor's class. That they want to learn the gospel. That they want to preach it in truth. And prayer. Did you know that the people who pray often have a more powerful ministry than the people who preach, because they provide the engine of the Holy Spirit through prayer? But it is God that is causing them to pray, that God might give a blessing, that a man may stand up here and preach the gospel with tears in his heart and his eye. That's God calling to you. It's not just man-made. They're pleading for you. People are at home pleading for you. They're encouraged by our conference. But I want you saved. And giving? I don't have to work a job right now. Who supports me? Somebody else. Why do they do that? To get you the message. And what we're saying is, don't despise it. He called this God that's doing all of that to preach you the gospel, because you have to hear the truth in order to be saved. He cannot save you by lies. He has to call you out from them. And so he gives you the gospel message, and he sends you all of the means to make sure that you hear it, that you receive it, that you say at the judgment. I had nothing else I needed but what you provide. And if you hear how blessed you are. But he's saying here in verse number 15 of Romans 10, as it is written, as it has always been God's play, or his plan A of Romans 10, 15, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce peace, who preach peace, who preach the gospel of peace, and bring you glad tidings of good things. They bring you good news. That's what the gospel is. It's not bad news. It's the forgiveness of sins. It exposes them to cover them and to help you. The gospel is not bad news to strip you of your righteousness and leave you with nothing else, but it's to clothe you and to leave you full. It's to leave you blessed. In verse number 16, though, it hits on the problem. But all did not obey. They did not heed the gospel. And so what he's saying here, Pastor, is that the problem is with God's enemies. It's not with God. The Almighty God comes here this day with a peace treaty. And here are the terms. You take my son's blood, and I'll save you. You take what Jesus Christ did on the cross. I will forgive your sin. I've already put away my own anger. Just come into peace with me. And you know what the sinner does, Pastor? He takes the terms of peace and he tears them into shreds and throws them on the ground and trembles. He's saying, I've got my own righteousness. I don't have any need. Not knowing he's clothed in filthy rags. And the word actually means it's a dirty menstrual cloak. That's the most filthy thing. Next to maggots is the righteousness of man. I'd rather look at maggots than man's righteousness in the sight of God. But the sinner says, I do not want to trust Jesus Christ. I will trust me. I was talking to somebody just about faith. And he's coming around. He's still arguing, but I'm hopeful. Is he's reasoning, and he keeps coming back for more. But he did say he agreed with this, brother. Faith does nothing. God does everything by faith. Faith offers no greatness from man. Our faith is in God. It's not of us. It's not myself I'm believing in. Not my works, not my strength, not my righteousness, not my goodness, not my filthy rags, but God's clean and perfect garment. I'm trusting Jesus Christ. And the sinner says, no, I'll have my sin. But just like our pastor said earlier, before I came up, you're casting away diamonds for dirt. Look around. Is this worth Jesus Christ? Is Lecky worth? Is the BGC? Is the USA worth Jesus Christ? Your eternal soul? No. It's not worth it. But they disobey the gospel. They refuse to believe it. They say no unto the terms of the peace treaty with God. But the problem is not God casting out a sinner. It is not God saying he's too sinful. It's not God saying he's been a hypocrite. It's the sinner saying no when God says come. Just come to me. Put down everything that you have and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And take what you need. If you open, please, in the book of Luke, chapter 14, I only want to read a verse. It's in Luke chapter 14, verse number 17. It says in verse number 16 that a man was giving a large banquet and that he invited many. But Luke 14, verse 17, at the time of the banquet, that's a feast. That's what the gospel is. It is a feast of the best things. It's the best wine without money or price. It's milk, it's bread, it's meat, it's drink, it's love, it's life, it's hope, it's peace, it's joy, it's power over sin, it's goodness, it's blessing, it's grace upon grace forever. It's the endless kindness of the everlasting love of God. And he sent his servant, his slave, to tell those who were invited, that's me and you, come. Don't delay. Don't hesitate. Don't reject it. Don't go back out unto the world. Don't close your ears. Don't say it's too much grace. Don't say that he's being too merciful. It can't be true. Don't say, I gotta have my sin. But come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need him. Because look here. Everything, every single thing is now ready. There's not one thing you need that he won't give you. Just come as you are to him. Come a sinner. Come needy. Come hungry. Come thirsty. Come a failure. That's how I came to him. And he got me and lifted me as a failure. He lifted me up. There's a man who could not make it.
and I know it. Too holy for me. But I can come to Him. And He will not cast me out. And He will not say, as you don't have enough strength, you don't have enough peace in your heart, you don't have enough goodness, He'll take you as you are. It's like going to a man who has everything and you have nothing and he marries you on the spot. And you have been tossed all around. That's Jesus Christ, the lover of sinners. The friend of sinners. I know I got hard doctrine and it strips you of all that you have so he can embrace you. So you can take hold of the skirt of his garment. So you can be rich in eternal life. So he can give you good things. So he can provide for you and save you. There's a story told as we turn back into Romans 10. And we keep reading. It's the stories of this woman who thought that she was too good. And she was young and she was beautiful. She was fly and all that. And this guy, he had his eye on her. But he didn't have a lot of money. He had a job. He had been saving. He planned to open up a business. He had a pretty strong idea, and he loved her. And he pleaded with her to show him some time, but she said he is too religious and too poor. And so he went on his way, and he found him another girl who smiled at him, who had buck teeth, looked a little cross-eyed, and was dressed in rags. But he told her his plan. And she said, that's a good idea. I would love to come and work for you one day as your secretary. I'm really good in math. I'm not really educated, but I'm smart and I'm honest. I go to church right here and I believe the gospel. And he looked at her and said, you're going to be my wife. And a few years later, they came back into town. And this girl that was all fly had gotten pregnant a couple of times by different men, had been left and forsaken, had been worn out, Pastor. And her eyes began to show her sorrow. Her body was starting to deteriorate. Her teeth began to rot. And she looked like, as we say back home, that she was on the crack pipe. And so the man comes into town in his big vehicle with a driver and a bodyguard, with his wife and two 3-year-old twin children. And he gets out of the car and he's looking nuts. His business prospered. And the driver opened his door and then he got out and he walked around and he opened his wife's door and he treated her like a superstar. Took her by the hand and she came out so pleased. And the buck teeth had been fixed. He had taken it to the orthodontist. And the cross eye, it was an easy fix at the doctor's. And she was beautiful. Her teeth shined like pearls. And she got out of that car, that big Jeep, and she took by the hand her two twin children that were both well-mannered and beautiful. And she went with him walking. And the man looked. And this girl was there. And she came up to him and she said, "Don't you remember me?" And he looked. And he said, "Is that Sandra?" Yeah. "Oh, yeah, it's me." And she tried to get all on him, and he made sure that she saw that he's with his wife. And Sandra was all, "Oh, man, I wish I had gotten with you." And he said, "Yeah, well, the plan actually worked out. My wife actually helped me. It did prosper. It's been blessed of the Lord." But the moral of the story is this: you can't go back when your time is gone. You got a chance right now to go to the camp. And you don't want it to be said at the day of judgment that somebody else entered in whom you despised, whom you looked down upon as too filthy, or even too snobby. That person that you say, "Well, he's rich, but he's evil, and he will never go to heaven." God will take him to heaven too. He'll come save him by the gospel, just to spite you. That's what me and you are going to read next. That prostitute, that harlot, that drunk, or even that rich man, God will bring them into the kingdom. That neighbor you hated, that person that you despised and said, "I'm better than that," will obtain mercy. That's what happened to the Israelites, of the Jews, when the Gentiles got mercy. The people that they despised got grafted in because they got cast out for rejecting Christ. And what I'm saying is that God is going to have mercy on somebody. Amen. His plan is not going to be stopped. He said, "I will see the travail of my soul and be satisfied." He's not going to be walking around in heaven wondering why there ain't nobody there. It's going to be everybody there whom he's appointed. And he's going to sit down in the blood of Christ stained upon his robe, and he's going to delight in his bride for all of eternity when those who heard it and despised it were cast out. And the Jews are a prime example. Let's pick it up in verse number 16, and we'll read down, and you'll see this picked up in verse number 19. "But all did not obey the gospel, for Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report, our message?' So faith, what you and I need, it comes by hearing, and hearing comes through the word of Christ, the message of Christ. It is Christ." That's the actual word. It's the word of God, but it's the message of Christ. "But I ask, did they not hear? Yes, Israel heard their voice. The sound of the gospel and of the prophets has gone out to all the earth." I know there's a lot of places who haven't heard this gospel, but you have right here, right now. "And their words unto the ends of the inhabited world." They preach the gospel. Almighty God preaches it through the stars in heaven, through the sand that's on the sea, through the trees in the field, through everything in creation. He's crying out that there is a God, and you need me for the coming judgment. "But I ask," verse number 19, "did Israel not understand this message?" First, Moses said, way back when, "I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation, who are not my people, who are scattered all over this earth, lost in blindness, sinners out of every tribe, tongue, and nation. I will make you Jews, you Israelites, angry by a nation that lacks understanding. I'm going to take a people who don't know nothing about the gospel, who don't know nothing about God, and I'm going to teach them the gospel. I'm going to make them preach it. I'm going to make them love it. I'm going to make them love me while you go to hell with a Bible in your hand. That's right. It'll shake my bones. I do not want to despise this message. I do not want to tell this message tomorrow. But first, let me make my million. That's what they're doing, Modestos. They're saying, tomorrow I'll get to him. I got more important, more pressing business. That's why they despised the feast in Luke 14, sister. They were too busy with what? What's more important than reconciliation with God? If men could realize the fire of fury is hanging over their head and the pit is soon to swallow, they would not chase these things of this world that don't even satisfy. Americans are unhappy. They go to psychiatrists and take pills. They're addicted to drugs. It's not money that makes you happy. Their children are miserable. They have no God. In Northern Europe is money, but they're empty on the inside. They got nothing. You got the gospel. Take it. Believe it now. Preach it while you can. Tell the world about it. But don't take Christ for granted. He said, take hold of my peace, because I don't want to put my fury on you. Isaiah chapter 26, or chapter number 27. This is scary. Verse number 4 says, I'm not angry. Isaiah 27:4. But if it produces thorns and briars for me, if it does not bear fruit, I will fight against it and trample it and burn it to the ground. Or let it take hold of my strength and let it make peace with me. Make peace with me. I'm not angry. But if you don't repent, I will burn you to the ground forever. Or take hold of my peace, take hold of my strength, my power, my ability to save, and make peace with me. And you shall make peace. God Almighty will save the sinner, or he'll cast the sinner away and mock him in hell as he brings salvation to somebody else. I don't want to see somebody else entering into the kingdom and myself cast out after I've heard it and preached it. Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest I myself should be a castaway. I should be reprobate. Brothers, take this seriously, because even though God pleads with you, the day is coming and he'll plead no more and he'll shut heaven's gate forever. And he'll open up another door called hell and kick you in and close it tight. And there will be no repentance. There will be no day of judgment after the day of judgment where you can come out.
It'll be everlasting fire in its fullness. And I hope that somebody is scared enough to trust Christ. But the power of his gospel, verse number 20, it cannot be stopped. And Isaiah, from Romans 10:20, Isaiah says boldly, he had courage, he was not trying to hide it, he was just preaching it. He's speaking for God. I was found by those who were not looking for me. That's how the sovereignty of God takes over and saves a sinner. He sees somebody playing with his gospel truth. And then he goes and he takes it and he puts it inside of the heart of somebody else. And he makes them praise God. I will reveal myself. I'll unfold myself. I will show myself in a saving way to those who were not asking of me. America, it has a history as the brightest nation on earth after England. In the history of the world and the spread and the advance of the gospel in modern society. And me personally, I left people who are the richest people in the USA. The most expensive housing market. And there are a few faithful churches there. But when you preach on the streets, you pass out tracts, nobody wanted to hear. And I just began to pray. Where do you want me? I'll go anywhere. And you know what God said? I'll take you away from them who despise your message, and I'm going to give it to a bunch of people whom they despise. Whom they look down. Oh, how could you live there? How could you live like that? I'm in God. That's what you tell them. I'm in Christ. I live just fine. I got peace in my heart. I'm going to heaven. I got power over sin that he gives me. I lack nothing. That's our report back unto them. And what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters, is don't be the despised who despise the gospel. Be the despised to take it so that you can be included in this verse. And after he passed by somebody else and they did not want it, he gave it to you. I am so happy. I would love for this church to be 100 times the size, but I'm happy it's the smallest church I've ever been to. Glory be to God. I love it. It brings him glory and praise. This is just how he acts. It's his character to show you all one day and say, I was despised not by these people. They believe me. They received me. Look at them now as they judge you who had it all. Wow. That's the gospel. That's God. I'll take it away in my wrath, but I'll give it. I'm angry at you. I'll show mercy to somebody else. What a God. I can't be stopped, he says. People who weren't looking shall find me. I'll open my chest. I'll open my heart. I'll reveal myself. Verse 21. But to Israel, he says. And he's going to move into the next section as we get into chapter number 11. In the next meetings or so. On their reprobation and on him having mercy on a few. But to Israel, he says in verse 21. All day long. How many sermons have I preached here? It's been 3 months, Pastor. Oh, my time is almost up, oh. It's chapter number 16, and I'm going to hand over the mic. The pastor's ready. He's getting ready. He's learning. He's preaching. I'll be back and to visit and help. I'm in here with you. But how many sermons have you heard to now reject the gospel? As I was passing by out of my house, as you know where I live, and you can hear maybe as to what's preached across the street. And so I passed by. It was in the afternoon. I don't know how people can work when they have these all-day meetings every day. But I'm passing by, and I'm hearing the same old thing. And today is your day. You shall not die. You shall be rich. I cast out. I bind the spirit of sickness and the spirit of... They hear it every day, same thing. I can imagine you despising that. I spit on that too after a while. I see that's not working. And as we learned at the conference, they don't have their bras, Pastor. Okay. This man here, Alex, told me a story that I believe, but it's unbelievable. That men with a conscience towards God could deceive people willingly. A scam. Just a sham. Just fake and phony miracles to appease the people's conscience and lust after grafting. They want to be taken from. They want it. Because they want to believe in something that's not in the scriptures. And they get taken for a lie. It's one thing to despise that. If you got a man up here that's after your money, that would be one thing to say, no, I don't want to hear that. I'm going to stay home today. But to hear the true gospel, but to hear that God came down to save sinners by the sacrifice of himself, and he gives you everything that you need free of charge, and he brings you into an everlasting bliss because he predestined you and chose you, and he saw you out, and he came to get you when you couldn't understand and couldn't believe it because he loved you with a special love. And he wants you to do good works by the power of his spirit. And he will help. And he'll do it all. He will give it to you freely every day of your life. There won't be one day you have to earn anything from God. And that's gospel. Not one day that you fail too much that you can't come back to him. Not one day that you're too weak. Not one day that you're too friendless that he won't supply all your needs until you feel like you don't need anybody. And you feel like Superman. It's a brother who knows me here. I was on the phone. And he reminded me of some of the trials that I've had since I've been here. The pastor, I have forgotten. I don't think about. I don't see them. I got my eyes on Jesus Christ. And the blessing. I'm not counting my troubles. I'm counting my blessings. This is the gospel. It doesn't leave you with regret, but with joyfulness and fulfillment. An action. Let's go. Not what's back here. Let's go. There's more to conquer. There's more people to hear. This is the gospel of power. And God says, I stretched it out unto you all day long, rising up early to send the prophets. But I stretched it out to a disobedient and a defiant people. That's what it is. It's defiance. It's saying, I will not believe God. I will not take the blessing. What good is this blessing? I'm hungry for a pot of beans. Esau's tragedy. He despised his birthright. And these people are disobedient
and they are defiant. They are gainsaying. They are defiant against God. Do not be defiant against your Maker, but take hold of His gospel while you can and praise Him with all your heart that He spared your everlasting and immortal soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus knows all of our troubles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a breath like the lowly Jesus.
Jesus.